come back. I see some familiar faces, some have been us in the past, a couple of new faces here. So we met Hashem embarking upon that next year of Limud in terms of going pretty much Kesed to Mishneh Berurah. So this year, hopefully, we're going to focus a little bit on some sugyos related to Birchas Hamazon, related to Birchas Hananin. Then we're going to try to branch out a little bit in the second half of the year, more into some of the Shabbos, particularly into the essays of Shabbos. So without further ado, let's begin a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Hilchos Brachos. So when we talk about Hilchos Brachos, we usually associate Brachos as being Derabbanan, rightfully so, because most of Hilchos Brachos probably is Derabbanan. But nevertheless, there is an aspect of Hilchos Brachos that is a Deraisa. That's, of course, the only Bracha that's for sure Deraisa is Birchas Hamazon. Birchas HaTorah, maybe, we spoke a little bit about this last year. Birchas HaMitzvahs, if you really want to stretch it out, based on a Rashi in this week's Parsha, Lovaytu Tzitzech Lo Shechachti, Mevrecha Alav, but those are a little bit stretches. The real Bracha, that's a Bracha Deraisa, the Choladei is, of course, the Pasuk in the Chumash, Hashzeke V'chaltav Shvat V'rechta. So I want to try to get a little bit of a handle on what exactly Birchas Hamazon Deraisa is all about. When is one obligated in Birchas Hamazon Deraisa? What constitutes Birchas Hamazon Deraisa? And this will set the stage, not just for Birchas Hamazon, but it's going to touch upon some very important yesodis that we're going to touch on throughout Hilchos Brachos. So when we discuss the mitzvah Deraisa of Birchas Hamazon, there are two questions that we have to address. We have to address both quantitative, how much volume you have to eat in order to be chayav Birchas Hamazon Deraisa, and qualitative, what kind of food is necessary in order to be chayav Birchas Hamazon Deraisa. And as we'll see as we go on, there's actually a relationship, there's an interconnection between these two concepts. So let's begin to tackle what kind of food first, qualitatively, what kind of food is obligated Birchas Hamazon. So the Torah says, V'chalta v'savati v'rachta. The context of that pasuk is Eretz Hashem lo b'miskenus to chabal lechem osech sekobo, etc. The Torah doesn't mention lechem, and this appears to be the source for the din that Birchas Hamazon is linked to lechem. So you have to have something that is halachically lechem. Now, what exactly halachically lechem means, if I tell you now, so then we're not going to talk about it in 3 weeks from now. So there's plenty to talk about when we talk about Birchas Hamotzi, what's called lechem, baked and cooked and fried and grains and water and mevatelshev lechem and not mevatelshev. There's a lot to tell you to talk about. What's called lechem? Remember years ago in Yeshiva when we learned Ketzer Mevarchin. So I remember at the end of the year I commented that we didn't really learn Ketzer Mevarchin. We really learned Seder's Rhyme. Because we spent most of the year learning what's called lechem, which is basically learning Maseches Challah. We spent most of the year discussing what's called the Priya Eitz, which is basically learning Maseches Orla. We spent most of the year talking about what's called the Zriyas, another thing, and the Shmita, and Jumas, and Maisres. So much of Maseches Brachos is rooted in the Deraisa of Seder Zroim. So lechem has a lot to talk about, but not for now. But the whole point of Eretz Shalom is going to talk about lechem. Lechem clearly is what's required in order to be chayav in Ben Shimon HaTorah. What about other kinds of foods? So there was a major machlokes of Rishonim. Is Birchas Hamazon Deraisa apply to Shivas Aminim? Let's say a person eats grapes, a person eats dates, a person eats figs, pomegranates. Is he chayav in Birchas Hamazon Deraisa? Why would somebody believe that he is? Because the Pasuk says, Eretz Chitos Ayur V'Gefet Ayur V'Rimon. So that same context of Psukim, it talks about the chalta v'salata v'racht, about lechem, also refers back to Shivas Aminim. And that led some Yishayim to say that the bracha chabrin in Shivas Aminim is also deraisa. So we call Beim Shalosh, Amichya, Eitz, etc. That could also be a bracha deraisa, according to some Yishayim. And the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam, when he quotes the dinim of being deraisa, the Rambam is pretty clear that the only bracha deraisa is Birchas Hamazon. The Rosh says brachas. The Ritva, the Rishonim take the approach that there's a bracha deraisa even of Beim Shalosh. But according to the Rambam, the only bracha deraisa is only on lechem. What about other brachas achronos and other kinds of foods? Things that are not mentioned in the Chumash, things which is we call bar nefashas. So those pretty clear, cannot possibly deraisa. There would be no source whatsoever for that to be deraisa. The Rosh says this explicitly. The Rosh discussed the Maseches Brachos. How much must a person eat in order to recite a bracha achrona? So it's clear that if a person eats kezayis, he has to bench. It's clear that the shear for other bracha achrona for main shalosh is kezayis as well. It's unclear what the shear of achila is for bar nefashas. So the Rosh suggests the possibility that maybe the only time we speak about a Shia Kezarias, only when we're speaking about things that are included in the Pasuk, V'achalta v'savata. So V'achalta v'achila v'alabi Kezarias. So Lechem requires a Kezarias. Main Shalosh requires a Kezarias. Maybe you eat an egg. We eat a less than a Kezarias, a bad example. If you eat a piece of meat, take a piece of chicken, take a piece of cheese or something, which are covered by burned nefashos, which are not shayach to the Pesuch bin Chumash, maybe one should argue that the bracha chorona, the Shia bracha chorona, is not a Kezarias even. So the Rosh purples about that discussion. Maybe we'll talk about this later on. But you see clear from the Rosh that other bracha chorona, which is the burned nefashos, is not even on the radar screen of being deraisa. So if a lechem is deraisa, bracha main shalosh, other foods may be deraisa, we're not sure. Burned nefashos is zicha not a deraisa.
When we talk about the Shir Kezias, that's not Teoraisa, right?
Well, we didn't get that part yet. We didn't mention the word quantity yet. We're just still talking about quality. To jump ahead a little bit, something hopefully next year we'll talk about it down the line, is that if you're going to tell me that the Bracha Charona of Ein Shalosh is a Deraisa, that's included in V'chalta V'savata, then that leads us to believe that the text of Birchas Hamazon Deraisa can be fulfilled with a mere ala michya. Because if you believe that eating fruit requires you a Birchas Hamazon Deraisa, then you have a very, very watered-down version of what Birchas Hamazon Deraisa is all about. If you believe that the only thing that's chayiv in Birchas Hamazon Deraisa is bread, then you have no way really of knowing what the bare-bone minimum text of Birchas Hamazon is. So again, I don't want to jump too much ahead in terms of text of Birchas Hamazon. Let's just keep to where we're talking about right now. So qualitatively, bread, yeah. What about quantitative? So that gets a little bit more complicated. So this is a major, major dispute. Major machlokes rishonim, and all revolves around a steer between two gemaras. In one place, the gemara tells us in Maseches Brachas Nefchof that min haTorah, in order to be chayv mirchas hamazon, you have to reach what's called kedei sviya. You have to eat a real significant amount, enough that you're really, really satiated, that you're really, really full. That's the share of kedei sviya. Anything less than that is only midrabbanan. So comes the Gemara with a very famous medrash and tells us, "Amar Malach Hasharis to Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The angels asked Rav Hashem why he shows favor to Klal Yisrael. If the Ruach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Yisafar, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show favor to anybody, and Rav Hashem responded, I shouldn't show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. After all, they obligate themselves to bench for merely eating a kezayis. I wrote in the Torah of Yechal Tzav, only if you're full of your seveya, and they're so strict, they want to be mevarach me. They want to give me a blessing that I don't, quote unquote, really deserve, even though I didn't really eat the full amount. They still give me a bracha. I'm going to give them a bracha as well. Yisar Hashem Parav Alecha, I'm going to give you a bracha, even though you don't necessarily deserve it. So the simple reading of that Gemara is that the fact that you have to bench for less than a kedei sviya is only a din midrabbanan. The Mishnah says beferish in Maseches Brachos Asher Machlokes Aftanoim, whether the sheer benching is kezayis or kebeitza. So the simple reading of this Gemara is that Machlokes is only on the level of the Rabbanan. On the level of the Araisa, everybody agrees the sheer of the Mechayev of Birchas Hamazon is the sheer kedei sviya, they have to be full. On the other hand, there is a Gemara in the Maseches Brachos in the seventh Perek, where the Gemara comments on the Machlokes of Rav Meir and Yehuda in the Mishnah. How much do you have to eat in order to have to bench? So Rav Meir says a Kezayis, Rav Meir says a Kebeitza. So the Gemara gives a whole cheshbon. Where did they get these numbers from? So the Gemara says V'achalta means Kezayis. V'savata must mean a little bit more. So the achalta means kezayis, the savata probably means kebeitza. That was Rabbi Yudashita. And Rabbi Meir said, no, the savata means something else. We're not sure yet what that something else is. The savata means something else. So comes Tosfos and says, I don't understand. Here in the seventh parak, the Gemara is darshaning psukim and presenting the machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with the shir is kezayis, whether it's kebeitza, as being a machlokes on the level of the araisa. As the Gemara in the Chav, the Gemara said that the Homa Chloikis is only on the level of the Rabbanan, because Meratar Kedei Sviya Ksiv. So which one is it? Who's right? Is the Shir Kedayis Kebeitza that the Mishnah records, is that a Shir Deraisa? Or is that only a Shir Derabbanan? So there's a major Machloikis in Rishonim how to solve that apparent contradiction. Everything revolves around that challenge. So comes Tosfos and comes the Rosh and says that the real Gemara, the Emes Gemara that carries the day, is the Gemara Brachas Dabchof, the story of the Melachi Ashoris. When the Gemara says that, Hey Machmir, my Kazayas HaKaveitza, that's the Gemara that really matters. And the Shia Kazayas HaKaveitza is only Chumam Midrabanan. So what does the Gemara mean in the seventh paragraph of Dashim Sukkim? It tells you the Rosh, but it's the first time in the history of learning that you bump into an Asmachta. It's an Asmachta Bi'amo. It's a Din Derabanan. We're just giving a hint, just giving a source, a remez from the Pasuk. Derech Agav, there's Machlekes, the Rambam, the Ritva, whenever the Gemara gives a remez, whenever the Gemara gives an Asmachta Bi'amo, is that simply a mnemonic device? Just a simple way of remembering, that's what the Rambam seems to say. Whereas the Ritva writes in Rosh Hashanah, that's much more than that. But Asmachta means it's the Ratzon HaTorah without a Tzivei HaTorah. Means the Kadosh Baruch Hu is dropping a hint to us and saying he would prefer that we bench for Kazayis, even though we're not technically chayiv to do so. So that's a technical machloekis. How do you touch up the phrase Asmachta in Chazal? Is it purely the Rabbanon and the Pasuk is just totally a remez b'yama? Or no, the Pasuk is Meramis to us. That was part of the Kabbalah of the Rabbanon Shalom, albeit the Torah is Ratzon HaTorah, not Tzivei HaTorah. But no matter how you slice this, only the Rabbanon. So Tosfos and the Rosh take the approach that the Ikar Gemara is the Gemara and the Chof, and Birchus Mazon Derais is limited to the Sviya, and all the other Gemaras that all Sugya and Brachas, the same Sugya appears in the third book of Pesachim, is all Chumah Midrabban, all the Pesachim Rasmachta Yama. And the Ramban and the Mechamis and Brachas in the third prayer takes the exact opposite approach. The Ramban says the Emes of Gemara, the Gemara that really truly carries the day, is the Gemara in the seventh prayer of Brachas, and the shear of Kazayis and Kabeitz, Ashurim Deraisa. And the Gemara really means what it says, not just Asmachtas, it really means it. It's a Chi of Gomim Minat Torah. I, the Gemara about the Malachi Ashoris, says the Ramban, if he doesn't say it, I'll say, Lo B'Shamayim, we're going to bring a Raya from a Maisa with a Divine Shalom and the Malachi Ashoris. It's a Medrash, it's a Drush, it's the Bechizot, he gives the rabbis Pasha Zayk, give a lot to Darshan about. I'll tell you 100 different sermons about this Gemara, but in the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything in the Halacha. The Shia Birchus Mazon Deraisa is very much Machlekes Remeir and Yehuda, whether it's Kazayis or whether it's Kabeitza. So Machlekes Taisa and Rabban, what the Maskana said Dvarim is, how do we paskin halacha? So it's somewhat unclear. Does it matter how we paskin? To be determined. So we're still trying to figure out academically, theoretically, whether Birchus Mazon is Deraisa and Rabban. We have not yet mentioned one real Nafkamin Medina from the Shiloh. Don't worry, there's plenty to come. So at the end of the day, we know a little bit about Lechem. We know a little bit about Shivas Aminim. We know a little bit about the Machlekes of Ishayinim, about when the Maskaras and the Varmis, can they svi or not? But we still have a lot to fine tune in terms of the sugya. So let's assume for a moment, can they svi? Let's take that approach of Tosfos, that you require can they svi. What does that mean exactly? How do you define can they svi? How do you know whether you reach the point of can they svi? So there appears to be a Machlekes of Ishayinim, again, assuming there is such a thing called can they svi. Kedei Sviya is a real part of the Mechayev Deraisa. How do you define Kedei Sviya? So Rashi, in Maseches Brachos, seems to quote at least one possibility that Kedei Sviya is a certain objective amount. It's a certain amount that's considered to be objectively Kedei Sviya. L'choyer, like other areas of Allah, it's totally on the Midigam, whatever the Olam does, whatever the Olam views to be a Kedei Sviya, does it Kedei Sviya. And the Sefer Chinuch and others say, no, Kedei Sviya is very, very personal. Kedei Sviya means a yusaveya. Am I full? So if I just had a bagel for lunch, I'm not so full. I can still go get myself ice cream. I can still have plenty of room for dessert. Whereas if I sat down, I was at a chasana, a six-course meal with 16 desserts, I'm stuffed to the gills. So then that's already called Kedei Sviya. I don't want to eat anymore. That's called Kedei Sviya. So that's a shaila. How do you define? Whose standards are you using to define Kedei Sviya? Within assuming that Kedei Sviya is important. Again, according to Tosfos, Kedei Sviya is very, very important. It's also not 100% clear, when you speak about Kedei Sviya, that's part of the Shir, does the Kedei Sviya have to come from the bread alone? Or can the Kedei Sviya come from other foods as well? Most of us, when we sit down deep, we don't have Kedei Sviya bread. In the olden days, they didn't have too much food. When I went to Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, so I ate an awful lot of bread. And I still lost a lot of weight. You know why? I didn't eat anything else. So there's not that much food to eat, so then you're going to fill up on bread. Today's world, Baruch Hashem, we have so much food. So you don't eat as much bread. So when I sit down, even if I eat at a chasana, let's say, even if I wash, I'll have one roll, and then I'll have 25 other foods, so I may be stuffed to the gills at the end of the meal. It's not 100% clear that that's called kodei svir. So many places can say that's also called kodei svir. As long as the other foods are accompanying the bread, it's part of the meal, kanecha, no part of the same basic meal, maybe the other foods can be starved together to create the kodei svir. And so even within the shir of kodei svir, we have a lot of snakers. We're not even sure that it exists as a shir deraisa, and we're not even sure how to define it objectively or subjectively. I mean, I'm not sure which foods go into it. Otherwise, we have absolute clarity. I told you, the goal this year is to make everything clear. So we have absolute clarity what kodei svir means. But again, we're not even sure that it exists. If you go down the route of other Rishayim, like the Ramban, who claim that kodei svir doesn't really exist, if we have their eyes at a bench for kezayas, so taka, what does v'savata mean? The Torah does say v'savata, what does it mean? So the Ramban took the Gemara in the seventh Berakah of Brachos very literally. The Machlokes is Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda. So what does the Gemara say? So Rabbi Yehuda is a simple one. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bechalta v'savata, bechalta zu kezayis, v'savata zu kemeitza." I would have thought that all you need is kezayis to be, I'd say, to be chayim b'chsamaz deraisa. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and ups the ante a little bit. You need v'savata as well. You need dafka kemeitza. Kemeitza is either twice the amount of kezayis or three times the amount of kezayis. But we don't pass the Rabbi Yehuda. We pass the Rabbi Meir that the shear is kezayis. And again, according to the Ramban, the Gemara meant it literally. What does v'sabata mean? So the Gemara is a very, very cryptic line. The Gemara says, v'sabata zu shtir. This refers to drinking. What in the world does that mean? Again, according to Tosfos, that Gemara means very little. The whole thing is an asmachta. But according to the Ramban, the Gemara is telling us some kind of a din deraisa. What kind of din deraisa is the Gemara telling us? V'sabata zu v'sabata shtir. What do the words mean? So there's a machlekes of Rishonim within that line of the Gemara. Assuming that the Gemara means anything of any great significance in the Torah, if you don't go down Tosfos's route, Tosfos says that the Savata means Kedei Sviya, but if you don't like the Ramban, the Kedei Sviya is not really a major component, not really Mechayev in terms of the Savata and the Raisa. So what does the Savata Zoshliya mean? So now you have a split in the Rishonim, what those words mean, assuming that it's a Deraisa. So the Ritva on that Gemara says that the Savata Zoshliya means that you have to recite a bracha chamorim in a Torah for drinking wine. The Savata Zishti is not referring to having a cup of milk. It's not referring to having a cup of juice, a cup of soda. It's referring to have a cup of wine and grape juice. That's the Savata. The Savata Zishti means something of the Shiva Samina, i.e. wine. And this is part of the Ritva's theory that when we speak about b'chzamazim deraisa, we're not limited only to bread. This applies to any of the Shiva Samina. Which, of course, is a problem because the Ritva is a little bit guilty of overkill. If the Ritva is right, that the Shiva Saminim require the Samazim deraisa, that must be based on Eretz Chitus, Arab, Gefletain, etc., on the mentioning of the Shiva Saminim. In Cain, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that the Savata Zushtiya, to include wine, the Manushach? If you believe the Shiva Saminim, Achayav deraisa, and the Samazim, it's already covered by the Shiva Saminim pasuk. So why does the Torah have to go out of its way to say Savata Zishtiya, to cover wine as well? So the Ritva asked this question, it's a fascinating answer. The Ritva says that I would have thought that wine is less than the Shiva Saminim. You know why? Because Hov and Ishtane, it's change rate, it's not grapes. And the Torah says, the Gefen means a grape. So if you sit down and have a bowl of grapes, that's for sure you have mentioned Deraisa, says the Ritva. That's a no-brainer. I know that from Pasuk and Parshas Ekev. But I would have thought that if you go ahead and you turn those grapes into wine, I would have thought, it's a different chavetza. It's a shinoi. You want to go really, really fancy and you want to invoke a different area of halacha, the place of a comment that says, like the parasha shina koina, like Zela. If I steal wood and I turn it into a table, why does the Gaza not have to return it? Why is it then? Why does the Mishnah say, a shini is koina? So Taiz explains, it's a different chavetza. It's not the same item that you stole. It's not the same thing. That din shini koina says it's not just a din in gezeira. It's a din called tarakula. Those who went back Marubo will remember that the Gemara compares the din of shini koina to all areas of halacha. Din of esten zayna, so other areas, wild areas of halacha. Shini koina is a din called tarakula. It's a different chavtza. So comes the Ritva and says the same yisrael as brachos. Just based on the psukim of Shiva Saminim, I would have thought grapes, yes, wine, no. Kamash v'lan v'savat v'zushtiyah, even wine you have to recite a bracha chorein on minat Torah. But that pshat of the Ritva is highly controversial. Because as we mentioned, there are many Rishayim will say that there's never bracha chmenim shivus amin. The Rambam holds there's never bracha chmenim shivus amin in derei. It's only bread, only lechem. So obviously, it's about the shtikim referring to wine. Wine is not going to be more than the other shivus amin. So the Mordechai quotes an alternate pshat in this Gemara. Again, assuming there's all assuming that Gemara means something. According to Taz, the Gemara means very, very little min haTorah. But according to the Ramban's version, that this Gemara carries a day, it's about the shtia, vos ben shtia. Says the Mordechai, what it means is as follows. I ate a meal of bread, v'chalta. I ate my bread, I ate my kedaisa bread, but I'm still thirsty. I didn't wash it down with a cup of juice yet. So I'm still thirsty. V'savata is a shtia. In order to be chayv and benching min haTorah, you have to have been oichel v'shose. If you oichel v'shose together, that's the chayv v'chsem mazim deraisa. So unlike the Ritva saying that achila is one mechayv bread, there's a second mechayv called wine. There are two different mechayv. Either one will get you to achila v'chsem mazim. The Mordechai says, no, it's a combination of the two. It's achila v'shtia, v'av is v'av achila, not or. It's not v'chalta or v'savata. It's v'chalta v'savata. If you ate and you drank, now you are v'adhi kezayis, you ate say, achila, you drank and now you ate say, sviya, then v'rachtas shemesh. Then and only then you will be banish. So again, we have a lot of different ways of understanding what this term v'savata means. According to Taisus, Savata is talking about the shia deraisa bichsamazon within the foods that are chayim bichsamazon deraisa, such as bread for sure, maybe other things. You have to have the condition of kedei sviya, which again, we're not even trying to define that objectively, subjectively, that food, other foods. But there's some kind of a din deraisa b'savata to mechayim bichsamazon. According to the other group, Rishon the Ramban, who says that we take the Gemara in the seventh parak more literally, and we kind of ignore the sugya with the Malach HaShem, it's just the Jewish, it's not really the Gela Maisa. So it comes out according to the Ramban that the Savata is not so much a question of satiety. The Savata means shtia, but we're not 100% sure what that shtia means. Is that shtia referring to wine in the Shiva Sabinim? Is that shtia referring to drink accompanying bread? Very unclear. But in case you're wondering, why are we spending so much time opening shir about what's v'chsemoz in deraisa? At the end of the day, we know how much you have to eat in order to bench. There's not a question in our mind how much you have to eat in order to bench. It's a mishnah. The seventh parak of brachos, ad heichem zam, how much you have to eat in order to akam zam, how much you have to eat in order to bench. Remeir mikazayis v'dum mikabeitza. We possibly remeir. My possibly remeir in this one. So we know the shir is kazayis. What's the difference? Deraisa, one who cares? What's the difference? We are Torah observant Jews. We perform mitzvahs deraisa, perform mitzvahs derabanan. We shake a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, and we shake a lulav on the subsequent days of Sukkot. We eat matzah by the Seder, we eat marah by the Seder. We put on tefillin, and we light Hanukkah candles. So we do deraisa and derabanan. So what's the difference? Whether you chayim mitzvahs deraisa, derabanan, we spent the first 25 minutes of Shia focusing on some theoretical questions. So there are two areas of Hilchos Brachos HaMazon that become critical in order for us to know whether we're dealing with the deraisa or the rabban. Always a test case to every shiur. Whenever you have a shiur that starts off with something deraisa or the rabban, and you know the nafkamin is going to be sveikis. What's the din? Do we say suffik of this mitzvah l'chumra, or do we suffik of this mitzvah l'kula? A guy ate a meal and he doesn't remember what he benched. He got all flagged and all sidetracked, and now 10 minutes later, he doesn't remember. Did he bench or did he not bench? So come to the Paiskim and say the rule is very simple. If brichsa mazon is deraisa, it lays brayer, you have to bench over again. Some of deraisa l'chumra. The Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Brachos that if Kriya Shema is deraisa, those were with us last year, we spoke a lot about that. If Kriya Shema is deraisa, we're passing Kriya Shema is deraisa. There's one day in the Gemara, we're not sure what that means, even Kriya Shema derabanan, but we don't pass like that. The Gemara says if Kriya Shema is deraisa, something like Kriya Shema tzarach lachso, you have to read over again. Let's say a guy doesn't remember when he heard the Shaifer and Rashad, you have to read over again. Doesn't remember the Shikuluv in the first day, again. Doesn't remember the matzah, first night of Pesach, has to eat it again. So if Birch Zamazon, we're dealing with the deraisa, something broch, something Birch Zamazon is going to be deraisa. However, if Birch Zamazon is only with the Rabbanon, so then something Birch Zamazon is going to be cool, like all other brachas. We have a rule, something broch for Hakam. You don't even have the option of volunteering. Let's say there's a din, that's something, and there is Chanukah's Bakul. I don't remember that. Chanukah candles, I don't have to light again. You want to light again? Light again. No one's going to stop you. You can't make a bracha, no one's going to stop you. But by brachas, we're going to stop you. Because for you to go ahead and to make the bracha again, the suffix is a something bracha batala. Going to some Rishabbat, this is their ice. Like it says in the Rambam, make the bracha batala, according to the Rambam, is a Shabbat their ice. So when it comes to suffix, birch, and mazon, we want to know the answer to that question. We want to know, is birch, and mazon, their ice, then you're going to have to bench again Misafik. It's the Rabbanan, then not. So now we're going to be in a little bit of a pickle. Because we have a guy who waited Kazarias, but didn't need Kedai Sviya, then we ask. If he asks Kaisvas, you don't have to bench again Misafik. If he asks Rabban, then you do. So now we have a Safik, what to do in the case of a Safik. You could call that a Sveik Sveik, but it probably wouldn't be the correct application. So we have to determine, do we follow Kaisvas, follow the Rabban? So that's one issue. Sveikus is an important issue. Then you have another question that plays out. Who exactly is Chayav mentioning? Whether we're dealing with the Daraisa or the Rabban, is that going to impact on a woman's obligation to benching? We don't know yet. We haven't spoken about that. Where a woman fits in the picture benching. But another critical component is going to be not so much, not only who's Chayav benching, but it's going to impact who can be mighty who in Birch Zemazon. Birch Zemazon is like other mitzvah Shibadibor, there's a Dir Shemek on it. I could technically be mighty in Birch Zemazon. Whether Birch Zemazon is subject to the regular rules of Shemek or not, hopefully we'll talk about that as we go on as well. But to some degree, there's a concept of being mighty somewhere in Birch Zemazon. But the Mishnah tells us, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in the Sukkah of Tekiah Shofar, that in order to be mighty somebody in a mitzvah, you have to be mechuyev b'davar. So now the question is, how do you define mechuyev b'davar? What if I'm mechuyev b'davar, right, but I'm only mechuyev midderabonah, and you're mechuyev midderaisa? Is that called a mechuyev b'davar? So the Gemara Bracha says explicitly no. When you're passing a deraisa, the question, you have to be mind, you have to define the mechuyev b'davar with deraisa like a standard. So now we have a whole series of shadows that potentially could crop up for us. Reuven wants to be mighty Shimon and benching. Reuven's chayav to bench, Shimon's chayav to bench. But the chiyuv may not be the same. Reuven maybe didn't need kedei sviya, maybe Shimon did. So according to Tosfos, that's going to raise a red flag. I didn't say it's no good. It's going to raise a red flag. If it happened, Reuven be mighty Shimon, maybe he can't. If you hold that Birch Zemazon is the rice of the kezayis alone, that's going to be much easier to defend Reuven be mighty Shimon. How are Ketanim going to fit into this picture? Ketanim generally are not chayav mitzvahs min haTorah, only mid Rabbanan. So we have a lot of things swirling around, a lot of potential nafkaminas to the shayla. Sveikus is an important nafkamina. Who's chayiv is an important nafkamina. Who can be mighty? Who is an important nafkamina? So what we really accomplished today was we set the stage, set the groundwork for some of those up and coming shaylas. The first things we had to establish, what's their ice, what's their abana. So we spoke about it from the vantage point of qualitative, what kind of food are we talking about? We spoke about it from the vantage point of quantitative, how much of that food you eating. We had a few nuances of machlokesim within how to define certain things. And we had a major break, breakdown of the Rishayim presented by Tezner. There are hundreds of other Rishayim who deal with this topic, but we presented it primarily as machlokesim and Rabban. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem next week will continue because this sets the stage for women being motzi manik, tan being motzi gedolim, and I ate desires, you would eat smia. How does all this fit into the picture? So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll try to continue for what we left off. Okay? Wish everyone a wonderful well, and Mitzvah Shem, we'll see you later next week.